Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. If you are a visitor, we are so glad that you're here. We would invite you, if you'd like to know more about us, to find us on Facebook, and we are also on the web. The address is on the back of your bulletin, and we invite you to find both of those sites to find out more about us. We have a couple of announcements from the parish this morning. The first one being that you might notice that in your insert that the women will be hosting a pie sale. And so that is in there, and they would like to know if folks are willing to donate some pies. Also, we are starting a new members class in May. And part of that is for folks who have not become members. Part of it is for folks who want to know more about what it means to be United Methodist. And so we welcome you into that, and there'll be more on when those will be coming up. Also, the final college boxes for the college kids will be mailed out soon. I can tell you that they have, having a son in college myself, they have loved those, and they have been a great, great blessing. And so we are mailing the last ones out, and that's in there. You may also note that last weekend, it's the 1st of May, the last weekend in April, we will have a Gideon speaker. The Gideons do so much for us. They are folks who help put Bibles not only in the hands of, or New Testaments in the hands of children, but also to translate into as many languages as they possibly can. And I'm not exactly sure. Warren, do you know how many languages they're at? About 90 right now. And it's pretty amazing. But they're also, one of the things that's near and dear to my heart is they put them in the hotels. You may wonder why that is so important for me that they're in the hotels. But as involved as I have been in the human trafficking, I will tell you that a lot of that is done out of hotels. And the women actually do sit and read their Gideon Bibles as they sit in there. And so they have an opportunity. So it is important, and it's an important mission. So be prepared for that. They'll be taking a special offering. Are there other announcements?
We had the ushers pass out a couple sheets to this morning. They are just information for your use. It's last year's numbers. Number one is our mission giving, which was just a little over $20,000, which I think you're to be commended for. If you read down through there, we sent money to 21 different missions, besides the undesignated, which kind of covers this, that, and everything else, whatever comes up. So anyhow, that was that. The other was the budget, last year's budget and last year's actual expense, coupled with together the upcoming budget for 2016. So those are for your information. Hopefully everybody got one. If not, we'll try and make them available out in the windowsills or something for those who need one. You know, it's kind of interesting how our church operates.
Thank you. We do have a full program this morning, and we are pleased to bring to you the cantata. And so with that, let's prepare our hearts for worship. Oh, I'm sorry, Vicki.
Does anyone here know the definition of awesomeness? Anybody know? Well, I'll tell you what the definition of awesomeness is UMW. Our ladies did an awesome job for Girls Night Out on Friday night. Even though it was raining, sleeting, snowing, flooding, and cold, we had a great time. And if it wasn't for the women of this church, we wouldn't have been able to have it. And one of the amazing things is there was a sign-up sheet for donations of food. And in perspective, just thinking big, I put 20 spots on there, and all 20 spots were filled up. The food was amazing. It looked amazing. So thank you, ladies, for a wonderful night and all the help setting up, the help serving, the help cleaning up. It was great. So if you want to remember that definition for awesomeness, just remember UMW. Thanks.
Thank you, Vicki, and also to you for everything that you do for that. So we appreciate that. Now, if that is all the announcements we have, let's prepare our hearts for worship. Creative God, we've come to be in your presence. Lord, we know that we are standing on holy ground. Change our hearts and transform our lives and bless us with the presence of your Holy Spirit as we come to worship you and to praise your name and to give you all the honor and glory. Amen. Amen. Will you join me in the call to worship? The risen Lord is among us, so put aside your uncertainty. Put aside your doubt. Put aside your skepticism. Put aside your mistrust and believe.
We now come to trust in the risen Lord, to learn and believe and to worship.
And I invite you to join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again, and he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And our opening hymn is number 384, Love Divine, All Love Excelling.
Thank you.
creations in Christ Jesus, and we are one body, one family together. Let's turn and greet our neighbors and pass the peace of Christ. Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Tired? Yeah, I bet. Were you guys surprised when you woke up yesterday and saw snow? Yeah, that's not supposed to happen after Easter, is it? Yeah, I was surprised too. Well, this morning, we are talking about what happened right after the women went to the tomb and they found that Jesus was gone. And that he had risen from the dead. And they went back and they told the disciples. And the Jesus then shows up to the disciples. But somebody was missing. Do you remember who that was? Yeah, Thomas. He was missing. And when the disciples told him that they'd seen Jesus, did he believe them? No, not so much. So I thought I'd bring something to help us talk about that for just a little bit. I've got all these dice. Let's see, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 of them, and they're part of this game that's called Tenzi. You ever heard of it? Yeah, I have not yet got to play it, so I just opened it. But I thought it would be kind of fun. So, oh, wow, I have all 10 of them are sixes. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah, do you believe that? Yeah, oh, okay, well, let's try that again. Shake them up a little bit. Oh, wow, all 10 of them are now fours. Do you believe that? Well, let's see if that's pretty astounding, isn't it? Let's see if I do this again. I'm really getting lucky. All of them are threes. Wow, that is really amazing, isn't it? They're all threes. Threes. I said three. Threes. Well, how many of you guys think that really worked, that I had all six the first time, and then all fours, and then all threes? Do you believe that? That's pretty incredible, isn't it? Yeah, but what if I would have done that, and I would have shown you the dice? Would you have believed it if you saw it? Yeah. You know, sometimes it is good to see things, that seeing things helps us believe. And so sometimes we say to Thomas that Thomas should have believed anyways, but a lot of times we're like Thomas. We like to see it, to believe it, because, you know, if I would have rolled all those, it would have been too good to be true, right? But it is possible. It is possible. And so when Thomas heard the news from the disciples that Jesus had risen, well, that seemed pretty impossible to them, to him. But it was possible. And so Thomas just said, I just need to see it. I just need to see it. And Jesus said that, and when he saw Jesus, when Jesus invited Thomas to touch him, and Thomas said, "No, Lord, I now believe." And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe and never see." And so Jesus calls us to believe in him Even if sometimes he doesn't come and sit with us on Sunday morning, we know that Jesus is here. We may not be able to see him, but we see him in all different ways. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you are patient with us as we want proof, as we want evidence. Help us to see, to not see, and yet still believe. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys so much. All right, let's see. I'm going to start this end. And you can take that and pass it. And I'll start this one at this end. And as soon as you get your suckers, then you guys can be dismissed. You can go ahead. Thank you. All right, guys. And this is the time when we take our prayer concerns and our praises. Do we have any prayer concerns to lift up or praises? Way, way up in the balcony, Miss Megan. But you don't have to go up there. We can have her yell. Do they know what the mass is yet? Okay, so Marianne's dad and Megan's grandfather is in the hospital. He has a mass in his stomach. Others? Right over here. Miss Kathy.
The 28th of this month, I'm going back in for surgery again. My leg, as I've been saying all along, is not healing right. And they've decided they're going to do a bone graft on it this time to try and get it to heal. And so if you keep me in your thoughts and prayers, I'd appreciate it. I'll be in Parkview this time. For some reason, the insurance won't cover Lutheran now, so I have to go to Parkview.
So Kathy's having surgery again. They're doing a bone graft this time. I hope it'll open it. Helps.
I've given you some updates on the Fiesel family, and Dan and I were in touch this week, and I thought I would share great news with you concerning Ryan. His last PET scan, an appointment with the oncologist was super. He does have a new tumor that's attached to his trachea, but it is metabolically inactive. So great news there, and they are back from Florida. And again, they live up in Bryan. So great news for Ryan and the Fiesel family.
Thank you. Any others? Miss Betty. Can you get back over there?
Some of you here in Convoy do remember my daughter Jill Strauss, and she lives in Bath, New York. About 2 weeks ago, I got a call from her, and she has lost all the hearing in her right ear, and it's called otosclerosis, and it's a heritage disorder causing progressive deafness due to overgrowth of bone in the inner ear. She's scheduled for Tuesday morning in Rochester, New York, at the hospital at the college, and she told me they will remove the ear that's attached to the head, and they have to go beyond the inner ear and the canal, and hopefully a prosthesis will help.
Awesome.
She works in a hospital in Bath, and it's a large place, so she does need hearing. So today, I'm appealing to the congregation to have some prayers for her and the rest of our family, that everything will be okay.
Absolutely. So Jill is having surgery on Tuesday to restore her hearing.
Surgery is staphylodectomy.
Yeah, it's a long name. And so we want to pray that all goes well, that she would have her hearing. If that's all, is there any others? Oh, okay. Sorry.
I just wanted to say thanks for all the prayers and concerns for my mom. She had her gallbladder removed on Monday. And she's home, and she's doing well. So thank
Wonderful.
You very much.
Thank you. And Miss Shelley's way in the back.
It's not a joy or concern, but I did want to highlight that we're having the last college box send out next week instead of the last week like we printed last week. I found out one of the students is coming home the end of April, so we wanted to catch that before everyone's out of school. So it'll be next week. Any help you can bringing in goodies for the students would be appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, there to be no more, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you are the God that blesses us with every new thing, all the new seasons, Lord, and especially those that hang on longer than we anticipate. We ask, oh gracious God, that you hear our prayers as we've lifted them up. We know that you have been with those that we love. Gracious God, we pray in advance for Kathy that her surgery would go well and that she would be blessed and that she'd have total healing from that. We pray for Betty's daughter, Lord, as she has her surgery coming up, that you would open doors and that you would just restore her hearing. Oh, gracious God, and just bring her to wholeness. We pray for our hearts and prayers, Lord, are with Annie today. And we just pray that you continue to heal her, gracious God, that you would just put your hands on her and heal her lungs and just bring her back into wholeness. Lord, we are impatient folks, and we want a healing for her. So we pray that you be with her and heal her also in the only way that you can, Lord. We pray for all those who are at home that are homebound. We pray thanksgiving for places of healing that you have been. And we pray also, Lord, for Marianne's father, for her, for her family, for their worry, for their stress, for the prayers, Lord, and the concerns of how it is when we have health issues that are scary. Gracious God, help us to trust in you and to walk in your ways. Help us to listen to your heart, to listen to your still small voice. Help us to know that we are blessed in all things. Help us to lean on you and trust in you in all things. Open our eyes to the needs around the world, Lord. We are not ignorant of all of the things and places of brokenness around the world. And so we unite those, Lord, and we pray together the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We do trust God with all of our prayers. We also trust him with everything that we have, and so we invite the ushers to come for our gathering of our tithes and our offerings. Please stand as you're able. O God of our salvation, we rejoice in your amazing deeds. By the resurrection of your Son, Jesus, you have opened the gate to eternal life. We are grateful for your gifts of forgiveness and a new start. Let the obedience of Christ, the righteous one, become the chief cornerstone of our lives. Help us to use our spiritual gifts and monetary blessings for your glory. We dedicate ourselves and our offerings through Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our gospel text comes to us from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And as he spoke, he showed the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Then one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus had come to see him. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers in them, and place my hands into the wounds in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer and believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, we hear your word and we are moved. Be with us. Open our eyes, open our hearts, that we may believe without seeing. Amen. Well, I have been given an impossible task. I have a sermon, a short homily that I have 3 minutes to give. It goes wonderfully with our cantata. This is the lesson about the doubting Thomas, and we often hear this, and we're always focused on doubting Thomas. But what I, as I went through this, what I heard was the fear. The fear. What we don't hear is we don't hear how the disciples responded when the women, having been to the tomb, having seen Jesus, having heard his response to say, "Go ahead to Galilee and I will see them there," that how was it that they responded? We don't hear them overjoicing. We don't hear them saying, "Oh, you know, we believe, we are, you know, we're safe," and they that they rested and that they were reassured. We don't hear any of that. In fact, we don't know. All we know is that the women went and told them. And yet we know that they went and stood behind locked doors. So it tells me that even they, you know, we always blame Thomas because I think he's an easy target. And I think we can all relate to Thomas a little bit. But I think that it's a fair assumption to say that the disciples really didn't believe either until that very same night when the stone was rolled away and Jesus had risen, that they saw him and he invited them to look at him and to know that it was him. It wasn't until then that they also stopped doubting. So we want to blame Thomas all the time and say, you know, he should have believed, he should have believed without seeing. Yet I think it's part of our human nature that we like to see, to believe. And it isn't about that, it's about the fear. Now we know that they were afraid of the Jewish rulers. And we know that we were afraid because there was a clear and present danger for them, that they knew that the rulers would have been looking for those who had been the disciples of Jesus. But I think, I wonder if they were more concerned about the folks who they had been going all this time. Remember, they had evangelized so many people, hundreds and hundreds. Think about the as they came into the city on Palm Sunday, who now saw Jesus being crucified. And they thought that was the end. So I wonder, did the disciples worry about being persecuted by those who felt like they had been shamed? Like that they had been misled? Jesus promised them eternal life, promised the kingdom of God was at hand, promised all these things. And for those of us and for those that were living, it looked like it was not going to happen. And so they would have rebelled against those folks who they held responsible for that, and that was the disciples. I thought about it. We live in an age that is so much like that. It was an age and a time when they were, it wasn't so much what was real as it was by what people perceived was real, where they were judged by on a communal level. And I thought about today, in our world of Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, how we have gone back. Do you remember the days when it used to be individualistic? Who didn't hear their parents say, you know what, you can make anything. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You know, your future can be anything you want it to be. But now we have folks who live in fear behind locked doors of cyberbullying. And it isn't that it's what they're being called, what they're being named, what they're being accused of is real. It's the communal judgment. And so I think the disciples were probably hiding in fear of this communal judgment thing, probably more than they ever were of the Jewish leaders. Clearly that was a threat. But I think they were worried about that, and fear is a natural thing for us. I love Dave Barry. Anybody read Dave Barry? He says about fear, he says that it's natural for us all to fear. We all fear something. We fear the dark. We fear lobsters. We fear falling. We fear falling over lobsters in the dark. And it's true, though. We do this, and the disciples were afraid, but Jesus came to them and said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. He knew. He knew they were afraid. It wasn't some trite thing that Jesus just showed up and was like, hey, peace be with you, man. Hey, be cool. Peace. He was saying, peace, my peace I give to you. There is a lot to be afraid of. But I give you my peace. He revealed the wounds in his hands and his side, and the disciples began to celebrate as it sunk in that the Lord was with them. See, it's the presence of the Lord gives us peace. Peace be with you. It wasn't Christ's words that reassured the disciples, but his presence. It was knowing that he was alive. What is it that Bill Gaither said? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And that's true for all of us. Jesus offers us peace. Not Facebook, not Snapchat, not locked doors. Jesus' presence alone gives us peace. Amen.
It was immeasurable love that caused God the Father to send His only begotten Son to this world of sin to be our sacrifice once and for all. The precious blood of Jesus ran down the rugged cross atop Calvary's mountain. His side was wounded for our transgressions. His hands and feet were torn for our sins. Before we celebrate His glorious victory over death and the grave, it would be good for us to pause a moment and remember the agony of the spear, the torment of the nails, and the taunts of the jeering crowd.
Christ, thy Savior, free. Following his agonizing death on the cross, our Lord was buried in a borrowed tomb. But, thank God, the story does not end there. The Bible declares, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, and the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. The New Testament teaches from beginning to end that Christ indeed is risen from the dead. Not only did he appear to many people after the resurrection, but his words are recorded for us. The seven last words from the cross have been a blessing down through the years, but rarely do we pause to consider the words he spoke from this side of the empty tomb. What a wonderful thing it would be if we would keep our minds on what Jesus said following the resurrection. One of his first statements was this, "Be not afraid."
Where the Savior was.
Be not afraid. Over and over again, these words appear for our comfort. Because Jesus lives, we do not need to fear death or disaster. We can triumph just as he triumphed. But there were other words to follow which would be just as comforting as these. He appeared later to the faithful 11 disciples who had been shaken by his crucifixion. His greeting was more than the conventional salutation of that day. It rang with a deeper assurance of something he had promised them that night in the upper room. Hear again those loving words, "Peace be unto you." Some of the words Jesus spoke following his resurrection are incorporated in his Great Commission. Hear him once again as he speaks to our hearts also. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. No Christian anywhere in the world should ever doubt that the Commander-in-Chief has given an order. To fail to heed this command is deliberate disobedience.
Be my witness,
yes, Lord.
Another word that Jesus gave his disciples was receive power. In the first chapter of Acts, the disciples were wondering about the prospects of future success and of the coming of the kingdom. To this he answered, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." The church today desperately needs a spiritual awakening. We are in danger of trying to do the work of the kingdom of God in our own strength. We are often using the wrong kind of weapons. The revival that the church so desperately needs today cannot be organized and promoted by human means alone. It can only be accomplished through the power of Almighty God.
Go to our world, the Savior is pleading. Go to our world, show them the way. Ours is a world that's torn and bleeding. Oh, how we need His power today. We need fervently pray. If we were with this world for Jesus, oh, how we need His power today.
When the disciples realized that Jesus had been raised from the dead, they were stirred. Another way of saying this is they were revived. A fire that had been slowly dying was now rekindled. What happened to them can happen to you today. Have you put your faith and trust in the Son of God? Have you repented of your sins and given Him your life in obedience? If you haven't, you can do it just now, this Easter season. If you do, the Holy Spirit will come to live in your heart, and you too will be made anew.
My life I give for
The people of God said, amen. Amen. May you go in peace, knowing that the presence of the Lord is with you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace.